It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce.
Welcome into the show. And we've got a couple things to get to before we actually start talking about the Rockets and kind of a bad night for them with the scoreboard watching stuff. I'm having an issue, Sean. Paul Miller was in here. He brought in a giant breakfast sandwich that is nap-inducing if you eat it. And, you know, we do this radio thing, so we're always eating very quickly just because it's not great when you have a mouthful of biscuit and you're trying to talk. I mean, the previous show doesn't care about that, but some of us are professionals. So I'm usually hopped up on an energy drink, which gets me through the 5 hours. Not that it's hard work. I know what I'm saying. But I get up early, so I just want to be energized enough to do it. I'm usually hopped up on an energy drink, but I'm also now combating the heaviness of a sausage and gravy, biscuit, bacon, egg, honey sandwich. We'll see. We'll see what wins out. I got an upper and a downer in me, Sean. I'm not sure who's gonna win. Maybe it'll even out. Maybe that's my formula going forward.
Oh yeah, you're in the sweet spot.
Yeah, we'll see. It's only 2 minutes into the show, so we'll see where I am. Sean's gonna put up a defense for A.D. Mitchell. He's being slandered currently by the online draft people. That apparently his film has made the rounds now, and people are saying, huh. He's a little lazy, and that's not all. So the Texas wide receiver is catching it. So Sean, at some point today, will put up a defense or agree with everything I say regarding one of the Texas wide receivers. We'll also talk about the expectations the Texans have. Cal and Hannah, you know, the owners' meetings are going on or went on the last couple of days. Cal, we told you yesterday, is the principal owner. That was a unanimous decision. The eldest boy. R. Kerry McNair lost out on all of his plans, so he can, I guess, continue to run the businesses that have nothing to do with sports. Hannah and Cal both spoke. Hannah first, so I think it was a local reporter, maybe Aaron Wilson, so it's definitely when a local reporter is around, you're going to hear from Hannah McNair. She's just one of the go-tos to get information, so we'll hear from her and Cal on the expectations for the Texans. Also, I'm going to ask Sean if he's ever worn a uniform for work and would he continue to wear it, because there's a picture of Jimbo Fisher out there that's really funny. I'll talk about that a little bit. Apparently Jimbo likes that Texas A&M athletic gear, the team issued gear. He still rocks it despite no longer being employed by the university. But let's get to the Rockets. They don't play tonight. They didn't play last night. They play tonight in OKC. We're now covering the Rockets like their games are like football games now, where they get a lot of attention and we start to preview games. And normally, well, the last 3 years, they're an afterthought, if they're even a thought at all. If something memorable happened in a specific quarter, we might mention it. But usually it was the road to 50-plus losses and not a lot of talk about. But now we're talking about a game in Oklahoma City tonight. But as far as scoreboard watching, didn't go well last night. The Lakers, without LeBron, if we still consider the Lakers in range, which I don't really, but if you still consider them in range, they went into Milwaukee, were down big early, found themselves and won a double overtime game. Austin Reeves had a triple-double. Anthony Davis played over 50 minutes and played really well with the Bucks blowing that lead. And then the game probably a lot of people were focused on as far as the likely candidate to get caught. The Golden State Warriors go into Miami and win a game. And the Heat were without Jimmy Butler. That news came down that he was at first probable with illness and then downgraded to questionable and then eventually out. And if you want to blame anything, blame Jamie's love of tennis, because he was at a tennis event on Monday night, seemingly perfectly healthy, and then less than 24 hours later, we find out he's sick and can't play. Jimmy's a bit of a troll. So depending on Jimmy Butler to be dependable in a game that you need him to play in and play well in is always sketchy, even for Heat fans. But when you are the Rockets and you're hoping he plays when the Heat are already without their top two shooting guards, you need a Jimmy out there for offense. He wasn't available, and that sunk the Heat's chances and the Rockets' chances of at least tying the Warriors last night, and as Sean pointed out, you'd be tied, but you'd still be behind because the Warriors hold the tiebreaker. But it would have been nice for that, for those screenshots to go around today and watching the Rockets and the Warriors tied for the final play-in. But Jimmy Butler said, nah, I'm good. The guy who doesn't claim Houston, he'll always claim Tomball, decided, I'm not playing tonight because I'm ill. I don't know. At about 7 p.m., he was on social media, not his social media per se, but people spotted him at a tennis tournament, and he seemed fine. And then he wasn't available, and the Heat needed him. I think they scored maybe under 40 points in the second half. So they go down. The Rockets are now a game behind the Warriors, and they have a big game tonight. So never trust Jimmy Butler, people. Never depend on him, unless it's playoff time. Then you might. But if you're a fan looking and scoreboard watching, he's not to be trusted, and neither are the Heat. That's unfortunate for the Rockets. Now, I had a vested interest in watching the game, so I found a way to watch it. When I mentioned yesterday you'd have to see it on League Pass, Sean, were you just simply a scoreboard watcher, or did you actually watch the game?
No, I have League Pass, okay. Actually. Because they're giving away like free League Pass if you voted on what was it? You had to vote on like what shoe Jason Tatum should wear in the All-Star game, and all three choices, by the way, were terrible. But I remember seeing it on Twitter and being like, there's no way that this is real. Let me just see, and like, I don't know. And then I have free League Pass for the next year.
Because you voted? Because
I voted on what shoe Jason Tatum should wear in the All-Star game.
How many people did they give League Pass to for that? Everyone who voted?
I guess thousands, yeah.
Wow. I mean, how did that? I don't follow the NBA account, so maybe that's how I messed it up. That's on me. Free League Pass because you clicked the button.
Yeah.
Are they struggling to get viewers? What's going on?
I don't know.
So you were able to watch and
legally.
You were rooting hard for Haywood Highsmith in that first half. He's making all those shots, and then you're like, wait a minute.
Haywood Highsmith, bucket.
He had a big first half, and then the Warriors came out quickly in that third quarter and jumped out to a big lead, and the Heat never recovered. So the Rockets, a game back.
Yeah, that was a disappointing one. When I saw that the Heat were wearing their Heat culture jerseys, I was like, you know what? Even without Jimmy Butler, without Tyler Hero, maybe we have a chance.
They're actually pretty terrible, those jerseys.
It's Heat culture.
The culture jerseys don't work out well for them.
Oh, really?
That court doesn't either. So that would have been, if you were locked in, and why would you be, you would have known, okay, this is going to be a pretty bad night.
I also saw Patty Mills was starting. That didn't seem
that
good.
That should have made you uncomfortable, too.
That didn't seem good. But then again, Heat culture. I don't know.
Yeah. Patty Mills is one of those guys who will light up your team, but when he plays for your team, nothing good can come of it.
You realize there's a lot of 1-for-5s and 2 points?
Yeah.
Like last night?
Yeah, there's been plenty of that so far. So
in 18 minutes.
A team undermanned played a Warrior team at full strength, and it showed in that second half as the Warriors get a big win, and the Rockets have to hope they can keep pace tonight in Oklahoma City. We'll hear from Jalen Green about that, about how they're a different team. They played a couple times, and Oklahoma City's kind of handled the Rockets. Now the Rockets are playing differently because of personnel or the lack thereof. They have to play differently, and we know how Jalen Green goes, the Rockets go, particularly offensively. Just look back to what happened on Monday night against the Portland Trailblazers. He was terrible in the first half. They were down by 4. He got it going, and they ran away with the game against the Portland B team. So we'll hear from him on the other side. We'll continue to talk about the Rockets. The Astros are in town, obviously. Opening day is Thursday or tomorrow. That's what Thursday is, though. And they host the Yankees. We've got Fromber on the mound, but Ronel Blanco made himself known, if you weren't paying attention, and he's now in the rotation. That was kind of predicted by Brian McTaggart. He wrote an article about it. I believe we talked about it. But he struck out 10 last night, and he had a baby, too. And Joe Espada told him as he came off the mound, you're my guy. You're in the rotation. How long that will last certainly will be determined by the health of Verchiti. I'm not going to say Verlander because once he comes back, he's in the rotation. But maybe if Verchiti is not right when he comes back and Blanco is really, really good, that may be a spot for him to steal. Who knows? But he will be in your rotation to start the year. So credit to that man for being really good in spring training and taking advantage of his opportunity. I mean, he was against the Space Cowboys. I mean, it's 10 strikeouts is 10 strikeouts, but yeah. it was the Space Cowboys.
And a Space Cowboys team that was 1-0 against the Astros this season.
So he's already a stopper. Yeah. He stops losing streaks, Ronel Blanco.
There you go.
He wasn't going to let the Space Cowboys walk out of here with two wins against the Astros. Sometimes you got to put your foot down, and Ronel Blanco did that last night.
He's going to send him home on 45 South with an L.
Exactly. Take your ass back to Sugar Land with this L. That's what Ronel Blanco did.
35 minutes. You're going to have to think about that L.
I know. The long bus ride back to Sugar Land. So the Astros get a win, if that means anything to you. The more important thing is Alex Bregman hit another home run. Does that mean he'll be a guy who doesn't start slow? We'll see. He hit it off of J.P. France. J.P. France was feeling pretty good about his performance. So the only one who hit the ball hard was Bregman. And so you've got positives on all sides, and the Astros get it going. And speaking of opening day, I'm going to tell you, or maybe I'll have Sean guess, the highest ticket price for opening day. Where the Astros land, they're not the highest ticket. But there is a team that probably will be pretty obvious if you consider the schedule. And it's ranked from, as you might imagine, highest to lowest. So we'll get into that. We are just getting started here on the show. If you want to call in, 713-780-3776. If you want to simply tweet at us, at Sean A. Mapes and at DelV2. Or at our Twitters or X accounts, however you still describe it. I don't normally have YouTube up because it's distracting if people comment, or simply even looking at yourself is distracting when you're trying to talk. But I did pull it up because we had an issue to start the show, because there was a question of whether I would look like I was in my goth phase. Goth phase, because of just a technicality with the images. It looked, because when Lance was checking out and we were trying to preview what the show template would look like, it looked like he had black lipstick on, and because he was doing his final live of the day. Sean, our intrepid producer, you heard what Michael Carroll calls him, all those compliments. He got the job done. I don't look like I've got the goth lipstick on, and maybe eye makeup as well. I just look like I have a dirty upper lip because there's a mustache there that's not very grown out. that's what that is, as opposed to the goth lipstick. So I'll take that alternative. As I said, we're just getting started. We'll come back with certainly Hannah McNair. We've got more Cougars to talk about. Well, that's phrasing. I meant the Houston Cougars. I should have paused and transitioned differently. Not calling Hannah McNair a Cougar. I was really want to talk about the Houston Cougars. We'll get to them and some other things as well. We'll be back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back. An update on Justin Verlander. He pitched two innings, live bullpen, yesterday. And all reports, particularly from Verlander, are good. He said he felt good, said the arm felt good. What he wanted to do was pitch and then sit down and simulate getting out of an inning and waiting for, you know, his team to get through their at-bats and then come back. He wanted to see how his arm responded and where his velocity was, and he felt good. He said, so after resting for 6 or 7 minutes, can I go out there and just kind of get back to 90-plus miles per hour in a few pitches? I felt like I was able to check that box. That was great. So all positives, really, since he had to kind of take a step back as the Astros have continued with a slow build-up for him to be ready to go. As you know, he won't be ready on Thursday, but he will be ready, hopefully, by mid-April, April 11th. That would be the return date, right around there. So if that is what we get, that would be great. That means no setbacks, and your number one will be back in the rotation and just strengthen a roster that has real aspirations. And some of the predictions are out regarding this season. ESPN has their predictions, and the Astros are expected to win the AOS. No surprise there. It wasn't unanimous or even close. The Rangers, the defending World Series champions, got eight votes from the panel of experts, if you want to call them that, at ESPN. The Astros got the least amount of votes in the AL. if we're looking at the how the divisions break down, the Twins got 16 first-place votes, or at least votes to win the division. And the Orioles are the clear favorite to win the AL East at 22. The Yankees got two. The Rays got one. The Blue Jays got one. And in the AL Central, the Tigers were next at five behind Minnesota 16. So the Astros, which have been the dominant force in the division for years now, people see a little, I guess you just call it an opening. Particularly when a team in your division wins the World Series, you can understand why some people might think that team would win it, would be capable of winning the division. But still, the Astros expected to win the division. But a little surprising that the Astros, as far as first place votes, are the lowest. Because if you look just even around the rest of baseball, if you look at the other divisions, they're still the lowest. Like, the Dodgers are the unanimous pick, as you might imagine, to win the NL West. The Cubs have 16 first place votes, and the Braves have 24. So this is supposed to be the division they're in is supposed to be the most hotly contested, and the Mariners got some first place votes as well. So if we're talking about, as one person who works on the station, the best team in Astros history, you can guess who with that hyperbole.
I think it was best lineup, or was it just best team?
Best team.
Okay.
You're not all in on that particular prediction?
I'm not hashtag all in.
Okay. So that was the prediction from somebody on the show that occurs before this one. Nobody else in baseball thinks that way. At least no one at ESPN. They think this division will be the most tightly contested, and I get it. The Mariners were a collapse away from winning the division last year. And the Rangers won the World Series. So why wouldn't this division be the one that people have their eye on? But like I said, I am a little surprised that they have the lowest first place votes. So buckle up, I guess. Hopefully it doesn't come down to the final weekend. But this particular prediction suggests that it will, or at least it'll be something we're worried about into September. World Series champion, the Braves get the most votes. The Astros got none. No one thinks the Astros will win the World Series, at least according to ESPN. The Orioles got four, Dodgers got four, but the Braves, the clear favorite with 13 votes to win the World Series. So we'll see. The Braves, we know all about them, and I won't say they stole the World Series away from the Astros. They just beat them. So maybe they
stole it.
Well, what?
Because all the Astros starting pitchers got hurt.
So that's stole the Braves' fault? Yeah. They stole the World Series from the Astros?
Although Charlie Morton literally broke his leg pitching for the Braves.
Yeah, the Braves would say, excuse me. So, yeah, the Braves, the front runner of the Winner World Series, if you believe in ESPN, and maybe you do and maybe you don't. So, was the last time the Astros weren't picked? Now, I don't keep track of these things, but I can't imagine the last time the Astros weren't expected to win the World Series or even get a vote. Maybe not expected to win, but even have a vote in a publication.
Just didn't, like, was it unanimous?
I mean, not even unanimous, just even have a vote. Like, they don't even have a vote to win the World Series, according to this article.
Oh, I thought you meant the division.
No.
So, to win the World Series.
Well, the division, sure. I mean, they've dominated, so yeah. Unanimous could. I mean, people thought the Mariners were going to be good at times, and hell, John has always been afraid of the Mariners because he's soft-ass John.
Scared.
But not even expected to win a World Series, at least get a vote. Like, the Blue Jays got a vote. The Yankees got a vote, and the Astros don't.
That just means there's someone who's wrong about the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Is this the Toronto correspondent for ESPN?
Yeah. Is Joe Carter working for ESPN?
It's like Heisman voting. Some guy who covered, I don't know, last year. Obviously, Daniels won it, but some guy who was covering Oregon voted Bo Nix, and Bo Nix was a finalist, so I get it. But in this case, the Blue Jays?
Yeah.
The Blue Jays?
Yeah, wow. So it's Braves, Orioles, Dodgers, Phillies, Mariners, Yankees, Blue Jays.
So even a team in their division got a vote to win, and the Astros didn't. We'll see. I mean, how about the Mariners do anything before we give them a World Series title? Do something.
Wait, did they not do the American League champion? Where is that? I'm literally just scrolling.
The American League champion.
Okay, so there's five that think they're going to win the AL. But all five of them having losing to the Braves.
Losing the World Series. Yeah,
probably to the Braves.
Yes, probably to the Braves, which I get. The Braves are expected to be really, really good. But the Astros are a team, I wouldn't even say in transition, but I would understand some questions about them. The lineup, as you alluded to, is expected to be really good. But the pitching staff, older Verlander, Fromber wasn't great last year. Javier had his problems, too. So if you have qualms about the Astros' strength as far as rotation, understood. The back half of the bullpen, if you can get to it, should be locked down. But you have to get to it, and whether it be middle relief or the starting rotation causing the team some issues, that's completely understandable. But not an odds-on favorite to even win their own division. So if that is going to bear out, expect some competition.
Yeah, and I noticed all 12 votes that weren't for the Astros to win the AL West. So the Rangers got 8, the Mariners got 4, and then they picked the AL wild cards. The Astros have 12 votes to win the to be a wild card.
So
everyone has them making the playoffs. What, 5 of them
have them winning
the American League,
and none have them.
None have.
So
haters.
Clearly expected to be a really good team, one way or the other, just not the best team, which
haters.
Is fine. You got to prove them wrong. What does Salah say? You ain't got no haters, you ain't popping. So we'll see how the Astros clearly have haters. That'll be something that follows them until maybe this current generation retires. There will always be someone who hates on the Astros going forward, and that's just how it is. So we talked Texans, we talked Rockets. Actually, we've talked Rockets, we've talked Astros. We're going to talk Texans on the other side because our owners are talking. They are embracing expectations, so we'll hear from Hannah McNair and Cal on that. We're also going to talk about cuffing season. Like, cuffing season in romantic terms is, I think, from October to Valentine's Day. But if we're talking about the draft season in the NFL, cuffing season is here. When you start to fall in love with the prospect, particularly if you're a fan and you really want this guy on your team, I'm going to see if I can convince anyone, or can anyone convince me to fall in love with J.J. McCarthy as your quarterback, because that's the thing now. He's moving up the draft boards according to reports. Some people think he'll be the second player taken going to the Commanders. I've watched enough J.J. McCarthy to go, what are we talking about? Is this guy an elite prospect that can change a franchise's trajectory because of how great he will be at quarterback? Some people think so. So we'll talk about the improbable rise of J.J. McCarthy. I'm going to be honest. I don't see it. I see a guy who benefited from the talent disparity that his team had compared to others and the ability to run the football and play defense, which is a nice formula on any level of football. I'm just not sure the quarterback manning the helm of that formula should be the number 2 overall pick. If you want to bet on where J.J. McCarthy will get drafted, you can do that. One place you can do that is MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.ag. If you have any interest in that. But really, it's tournament time, and it's basketball time. Of course, baseball is tomorrow, so you can go to MyBookie to bet on the Astros if you feel good about Fromber tomorrow. Or you have insight on the Cougs and what they'll do to Duke, and maybe you have an under in Kyle Filipowski. Maybe you don't believe in him. That can be done at MyBookie.ag. It's the place to find the experts. The experts will help you out. If you aren't sure about things, they will provide expert predictions for the games this week, the odds as well, and the odds are up to the minute, the props as well. You don't have to be Jontay Porter. You can be a regular individual and go to MyBookie. Sign-up bonuses are available. Just use promo code BET975. A welcome bonus on your first deposit, all the way up to $1,000. So if you put in $200, you can get $300 ready to play instantly using that promo code that I mentioned, BET975. And the fun doesn't stop there. You'll get up-to-the-minute odds, as I mentioned. And the best part about MyBookie, you can bet on anything, anytime, from anywhere. It's your one-stop shop for all your sports betting and casino needs, complete with a real-life Vegas experience right from the comfort of your phone. Use promo code BET975 to secure your welcome bonus today, only with MyBookie.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back. I wanted to get to the Texans, but a story just came across my For You page that I'll admit distracted me. It does play into something I was going to get to later. Sean, you think 3 or 4 years ago you could, maybe not name, but if I gave you the names of the four women who are supposed to be up, or not supposed to be, they are up for the Naismith Award, you think you could recognize them? Like, not just the names, but if I say these are the four women, you recognize their faces and can name them.
I could probably get like 2 or 3 of them.
Okay, I'll give you the names here and say, and you can figure out if you have name recognition for them, or even you can recognize them by face. Cameron Brink, that one might be the toughest.
Yes,
you know her.
Yes, she's the one that said "bleep you" to the ref.
Yes,
this weekend.
Yes, she did. Tall woman from Stanford. Caitlin Clark, obviously.
Yes.
Yes. Juju Watkins.
Yes. Chucker.
Generational.
Generational chucker.
Paige Bueckers.
Yes.
So you know them by name and by face.
Yes.
Yes. Would you want to see one of them play in the Big Three? Because Ice Cube offered Caitlin Clark $5 million to play against Joe Johnson and Rashad McCants.
Specifically Rashad McCants and Joe Johnson?
Just play in the league. But those are a couple of players I know who are in the league. $5 million. Now, the story is out. TMZ reported it, and Ice Cube quote tweeted it and said, yeah, I was going to wait. He said, I wanted to wait until she was through with the tournament, but since it's out there, I did offer her that money. Why wouldn't we? Caitlin is a generational athlete, not just chucker, athlete, who can achieve tremendous success in the Big Three. $5 million. That is where women's basketball is, at least when one of the women is a superstar. A $5 million deal to play in the Big Three. New times, man.
You kind of have to take it, don't you?
See, this is the thing, because I would think, obviously, I'm speaking from a place of maybe somewhat ignorance, that women's basketball is always striving for legitimacy. The sport itself, not just the players. Hey, you come. What's traditional? A star college basketball player goes to the professional league. That's what happens in the NBA. Of course, you got some. That's what happens. I mean, you know, we have the G League that helps players who don't want to go to college. But traditionally, if you were a star younger player, you will wind up in the top level of the sport. The Big Three isn't the top level of women's basketball. The payday is giant. But if we're talking about legitimacy, Caitlin Clark should be playing for the Indiana Fever. That's just how it goes. I mean, maybe the Big Three is trying to pull some USFL stuff from way back when they were trying to snatch up stars from college to get them instead of the NFL. But I understand your point. That's a lot of money. The Indiana Fever contract ain't that. The question is, she's probably going to be looked at as a steward of the game going forward. She was a big star in college. They want her to be in the WNBA to continue that momentum. If she's playing in the Big Three, is an exclusive deal? Can she still play in the WNBA? Or
I'm pretty sure they both play in the summer, don't they?
So this is the issue. If that's the case, I understand the money aspect, but if we're talking about the long-term viability and what they want women's basketball to be, she can't pick the Big Three over the WNBA. I mean, I wouldn't say don't do it, but if she's thinking beyond herself, I would think playing in the WNBA supersedes playing in the Big Three. Unless Ice Cube is in the Indiana Fever, like, you can do both.
Mm. What if she's like, I don't want to play for the Indiana Fever?
She pulls an Eli or John Elway?
Yeah. Her dad turns into the Deion Sanders of
Yeah, we didn't even that's a story we didn't even get to.
Did we not talk about that?
No, I don't think so. That's something we can bring up. We have some college football stuff I want to get to, so we can bring that up. There's an Ole Miss player, a transfer from Florida, who pretty much said Florida doesn't know what they're doing. I like that. Yeah, a lot of us do here. By here, I mean me. So I'll send that to you. We can play that a little bit later. So where do you stand? Caitlin, think about all the things that go into Caitlin Clark being a star and also playing in the WNBA. And I won't call the Big Three a freak show, but if she's picking the Big Three over the WNBA, it's a bit of a sideshow.
It's a
sideshow type deal. She's playing in a 3-on-3 basketball tournament as opposed to playing in the highest level of professional basketball that she can play in.
McCants.
Yeah, and others. Charles Oakley, I think, is on one of those teams.
Oh, my God. Playing?
Yeah, he was on one of those teams. I'm not sure he's going to be in the upcoming season. No, I think he put on a jersey. He was playing. So this is what I'm talking about, sideshow type stuff.
So she's going to play against 50-year-old men?
Yes. In some cases, I think Rasheed Wallace might have been on one of the teams.
Maybe Rashad McCants, because I haven't kept up with them too much. But I don't think I've heard a single name that I think could guard her, because they're all in their 40s.
Yeah, maybe.
Or Joe Johnson. Who,
Joe couldn't guard anyone in his 20s.
I was going to say that.
40s, 20s. That was never his game. I like the offer. I'm all about people getting their bag. But I feel like she's going to – if there's a conflict – I feel like she's taking the WNBA because that's just how it has to be.
Yeah, I kind of resist the "that's just how it has to be" argument. But I understand what you're saying as far as, like, she is an opportunity to, like, actually grow. Like, she to actually grow the WNBA. But is that, like, what she has to do, you know? Like, is she actually obligated to do that, or can she be like, you know? You know what else would help grow the game? Me being $5 million richer.
It's very true. Now, the big three would allow her to play in the WNBA. Now,
how nice of Ice Cube.
Yeah. Well, it would be at maximum 10 games. 10 games, 8 regular season, and then the 2 playoff games. So she would get $5 million for at most 10.
Okay, she has to say yes. And the Indiana Fever.
Well, the Indiana Fever letter, though.
Why not?
Like, if the Indiana Fever letter, it's a real conversation to be had. If they don't care, if they think it's good for women's basketball.
It's also, I mean, the WNBA lets people play in Russia in the offseason.
It's the offseason, though.
Yeah, but this is a 3-on-3 basketball tournament against four guys in their 40s and 50s. It's half court. I'm not sure how taxing this is, how much
it's more about scheduling for me, because when are these games being played?
As long as the games are not the same, I'm saying she can play against Antoine Jamison in the on a Friday, and then play against whatever, the Indiana Fever versus, I don't know, Detroit Mercy. Is that one of the –
no, that's a college. Detroit – I don't know if Detroit has a team.
I don't know.
They might.
But against, you know, so, the L.A. Sparks, you can play on that on Saturday. I don't think you need a day off after giving Joe Johnson buckets.
So the WNBA preseason begins May 4th. I got to look at
May the 4th be with you.
Uh-huh.
Is that why they did that?
Possibly. It is.
Chewbacca out there?
Who knows? It may be Star Wars night someplace for the WNBA preseason. The big three – their league begins June 15th, so it'll be right in the middle of the WNBA season. I think the scheduling conflict will be the biggest thing hurdle they have to get over, because those games are already set. So if you're paying her $10 million, she can't miss a game.
No, I'm saying the WNBA should schedule around.
Talk about ruining the legitimacy of your sport. You're going to move games for the big three?
To have Caitlin Clark play both, yes.
I don't see it. This is the conflict.
Can't you miss an Indiana Fever?
This
game
is what I'm talking about, Sean.
No,
missing WNBA games for big three games speaks to the lack of legitimacy that they're fighting.
However, we led the show talking about the Miami Heat and Jimmy Butler missing the game. Wouldn't Jimmy Butler miss an NBA game
for a big three payout?
No, what'd he miss it for? To go hang out with Charles Alcaraz.
He was sick.
He was hanging out at a Miami tennis tournament.
Sick/hungover. Who knows? But he was sick, apparently. He didn't miss the game because of tennis. He was at the tennis match on Monday and missed a Tuesday game because he was sick.
Yeah. Okay. Does that ruin the legitimacy of the NBA?
Not if he was really sick, Sean.
The Miami Heat comes secondary to Jimmy Butler wanting to hang out with Carlos Alcaraz?
I mean, I'm not obviously, I work here, but Kuzmowska was asked about it before the game. After the game, I was like, you understand how bad of a look it is for your star player to be seen fine one night and then unavailable the next night when you're trying to avoid the play-in?
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's like, yes, it has Rockets implications. It also has Miami Heat implications.
It's a bad look.
Is that worse than playing in the big three?
I would say no, but they're fighting different battles.
Oh, yeah. The Miami Heat are battling to be the nine seed in the East. Actually, I don't think they can be the nine seed.
They're trying to be not the seventh or the eighth. So Indiana plays a game. I don't know which team they put her on. Indiana, the first regular season game for the Indiana Fever, the likely place where she'll be drafted, is June 7th. The Big Three, no, there are no games that day, so she would have a full week. The first game is June 15th, so I'm trying to figure out if she would miss a game. Not for the first couple, so she'd be available. So we think a private jet should be involved, or at least you do. A private jet should be involved, provided by the Big Three, to fly her back and forth as long as there's not a conflict. But you even think she could miss WNBA games.
I mean, like one or two, yeah. Come on. Well, again, Jimmy Butler was hungover at the Miami Open.
Allegedly hungover. You don't know that.
Won the last 12 NBA games of the season.
You don't know. You don't know if he was hungover or not. You don't know.
Okay.
You're guessing. He was ill, sick, very sick, Sean.
He was pushing Michelob Ultras on everyone.
And they're like, "Hey, Jimmy, we get it. You're the brand ambassador."
Okay, you can stop thinking Hall and Oates. Knock it off.
Yeah. Okay, it's not a commercial. The Indiana Fever have a game on Friday. WNBA, the Big Three schedule June 22nd. So far, no conflicts.
Yeah, because the Big Three, I think, only play on Saturday.
Saturday and Sunday. So yeah. If the Fever never play a Saturday or Sunday game, which seems unlikely, she would be fine. But.
Or you pull an Eli Manning and be like, I am never playing in Indiana.
I hate this. She played in Iowa. She can play in Indiana.
I know. But I keep going
through it, and there are no conflicts so far.
Huh.
Because the Fever somehow don't have games on Saturdays.
Almost as if this agreement's already come about.
So the first three potential conflicts don't exist. She has a game on Sunday as the Fever player. And the Big Three have games on Saturday. So for the first 3 weeks, she'd be fine. She'd have to do a back-to-back. How tough would that be?
Oh, man. Man, I have to.
Oh, man, Johnny Flynn's guarding me on Sunday. We just start naming washed-out NBA players and see if they're. It works for everyone,
Jerry,
by the way.
Jerry McNamara had me in hell.
Hakeem Warrick, the length. I couldn't get shots up. He was the length. His length bothered me on the perimeter.
Rodney Stuckey was all over me.
Now we're digging deep. Jordan Crawford. All those guys could get buckets, but they can't play defense. Rodney Stuckey could a little. I'm thinking about.
I'm
thinking about Rodney Magruder. Rodney Stuckey didn't play defense.
Rodney. Will Bynum.
I like it. He played defense. So if you are a fan of this potential conflict, and we'll see where it goes. I don't imagine she'll be playing in the Big Three. She will prioritize the WNBA, but it's a tempting offer. $5 million for 10 games. Not even 10. Maybe her team stinks. She doesn't even make the playoffs. She only plays 8 and gets $5 million.
That'd be the funniest thing if she averaged like 40 points a game and just missed the playoffs for the Big Three.
Yeah, because...
Because Stromile Swift let her down.
Because Luke May doesn't play defense. They couldn't get stops when needed most. So that's out there. We'll see where that goes. Unlikely. Jamal Shedd, I really was going to transition into seeing if Sean could name or have face and name recognition for the four men's players who are Naismith finalists. One of them is Jamal Shedd. He would know him. I'll mention those guys on the other side and see if Sean has answers, because we are way late for a break. We'll get to the Texan stuff with the McNairs as they talk about expectations for the upcoming year. More stuff to get to as well. We'll be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
This just reminds me of the opening for the Bill Simmons podcast. And now here's Pearl Jam. This is the song that he plays. Known hater for the Rockets, of the Rockets, except now he's comparing Jalen Green to a young Kobe Bryant. So he did that on his last podcast. So a complete turnaround from what he thought of the Rockets, and maybe a lot of that has to do with Jalen Green, and probably a lot of that has to do with what Ime Udoka has done for the Rockets
and all the mean tweets Rockets fans.
I'm sure they bullied him into changing his opinion. Yeah, we got you. The Rockets Twitter is always out in force, honestly, but particularly when they see hate coming their way. And let's be honest, the last 3 years, you probably deserved it. This year is a little different. Sticking with basketball in Houston, but moving on to the Cougs, The Cougs will be in Dallas for the Sweet 16 and hopefully for an Elite Eight game after they dispatch with Duke. And Kelvin Sampson was asked about being in Dallas, and he's talking about the fans, you guys, and how important you were in 2022. The games were in San Antonio. They played two. And he says the fans were a big reason why we were able to beat Arizona. Fans matter in those moments. I expect our fans to show up and show out. I expect to see a sea of Cougar red, and I expect that place to be lit. Kelvin Sampson saying lit. It reads better than it probably would have sounded if I was with him in person. But he wants you guys out there. That's been a thing really throughout Houston sports. We had C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans talk about wanting the fans to show up. It wasn't a direct shot, but they kept trying to appeal to fans to make themselves known. And the fans showed up for the Cleveland Browns game, the playoff game. And Kelvin Sampson wants the same. Make that trip up to Dallas. Show your support. I'm sure a lot of it has to do with, you know, they went to the Big 12 tournament and they felt the Iowa State fans made a huge difference in that game. Felt like a road game for the Cougs, despite it being classified as a neutral site. He wants the same type of environment for Duke. And if you can make it up there, go. I mean, sure, it's become kind of old hat to make the Sweet 16. Kellen Sampson, after the game against A&M, was talking about five straight Sweet 16. So sometimes that can become expected, but, you know, it can end really quickly. You were a one seed last year. Sweet 16 was there, and you thought the inevitable trip to Houston was on the horizon in the Final Four, and then you lose in a Sweet 16 to another ACC team in Miami. So show up if you can. Kelvin Sampson wants you up out there, and it would be a big boon to the Cougs to see you guys. You guys have supported them all year long when you're at it for Tita Center. If you can make the trip, make the trip. It's going to be a good time and hopefully a good weekend that lasts through Sunday night as the Cougs cut down some nets and then head to the Final Four. Did want to get to this, speaking of the Cougs, a guy who we didn't expect to hear a lot from on the court, or really just hear him speak because he wasn't expected to be a major contributor, Jock Landale. He's not the starting center per se because Jabari Smith plays the five with Shingun out, but he had to start and was great against the Blazers in the first quarter, and he's your backup five. And his Australian national team played the Cougs. He's got much respect for Kelvin Sampson and the Cougs, and here's what he said.
Now they're in the Sweet 16. What do you remember about when you guys matched up, and what impressed you about them when you played them a while back?
Waxed them. Man, they played really hard. They actually held us to a reasonable margin. They might have been up even going into the end of the first quarter. So super competitive. I didn't actually get out there against them that game, but being able to watch those guys get up and down against our boys, it was a team that was really aggressive defensively and then just high-paced and move the ball, athletic, all the things you guys know. So, mate, they're doing really well and hopefully continue to do so. But, you know, that's no surprises there, to be honest with you. Seeing how they were able to play against us and in spurts, you could tell that there was some serious talent there.
That is Jock Landale on the Houston Cougars. That was in the summer, obviously, before the year began, and more high praise as you might expect. I'm looking at the Australian roster. I was going to make a joke about Jamal Shedd better not let Joe Ingles keep him from the bucket, but Joe Ingles isn't currently on the team. He's a little old.
Is Dante Exum on the team?
Maybe. This is the FIBA Asia Cup, which is made up of players who aren't in the NBA. So maybe Ingles was out there, to be honest with you. And maybe Dante Exum was too. I just know if Ingles was out there. If Shedd's letting Ingles stay in front of him.
Or Ben Simmons.
He doesn't play at any point. You think he's going to play in an exhibition?
Or Josh Giddey was probably out there.
He might have been. That's probably a good call. But it's funny. We start naming off Australian players, and not a bad basketball playing country. They're pretty good.
Fine.
And Canada should be a lot better as long as those guys actually play. For the first time ever, those guys actually want to play for Canada. And the names, I guess, begin with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You've got RJ Barrett. So, and Jamal Murray?
Lou Dort?
He's a good player, but...
Lou Dort?
Yes, but there are...
Kelly Olynyk?
There are better players. Kelly's probably not
Tristan
one of
Thompson?
Them. Wash Tristan Thompson is still playing for Canada.
I don't know if he's playing for Canada.
I hope they found a big man to displace him at this point.
Corey Joseph.
Yeah, I mean, the problem for Canada was they could never get those guys to play for him.
Yeah.
But apparently that has changed now. So
Andrew Wiggins.
There's another one.
Never wanted to play for him.
He never wanted to play. So if Canada could ever get their group of guys to play, I don't know if they'd be a threat to the U.S. to win, but that's a medal team. At least they should be if they play well together.
They should be. I don't think they've ever gotten a medal.
I don't think they've ever medaled because they can never get those guys, their NBA players, to play. And I think they're all, at least the healthy ones, will play in the Olympics. So Canada's a team, if you are looking for I wouldn't necessarily call them an underdog, but one of those teams that shouldn't be under the radar considering the talent, but we just don't think about them that way, that's a team to look forward to medal if we're going to have a Olympic basketball discussion. The Canada should challenge the U.S. at least in the game. I don't know if they'll beat them. I'm considering, yeah, I'm just looking at Anthony Bennett's on the roster.
Uh-oh.
That Anthony.
Former,
yes,
number one.
Yes, that Anthony Bennett. As we mentioned, R.J. Barrett. You got Trey Lyles, Dwight Powell, Andrew Wiggins. And then they still have the guy. They were part of the qualifying team. Jamal Murray should play in the Olympics and show shit Shea. And that'll be a good basketball team.
I'm sorry. They got the silver in the 1936 Olympic Games. I apologize to the nation of Canada.
It was an egregious oversight by you
yeah.
to not remember Whoops. That. So, Canada. Team Canada, on the lookout. They better not beat us. I've seen enough of them beat us in hockey, which I understand. It is Canada and it's hockey. The basketball thing goes too far. They've already they won the group in soccer, the qualifying group in soccer in this past World Cup cycle. So enough of Canada beating us in sports. Not this time, Canada. Not in the Olympics.
Oh, they got the bronze in the 2023 FIBA World Cup.
That doesn't count, Sean.
I think they beat the U.S.
I'm sure they did. I wouldn't be surprised. They got some players over there. That'll wrap up hour one. We will get to the McNair sound coming back. Oh, I did want to do this just to close it out. I asked Sean during the break if he could name or at least have face recognition of the women's finalists for the Naismith. He knew all of them. Does he know the men? Zach Edey.
Yes.
Yes. Dalton Connect. Would you know what he looks like?
He just played Texas, and so I know that he's a white guy who's kind of tall, but not like a center, but he's like a forward-sized white guy. But I don't actually remember what his face looks like.
If he walked in here without Tennessee-issued gear, you wouldn't know who he was or who he played
Probably
for.
Probably not, no.
And then the last one, R.J. Davis.
No.
That's the North Carolina guard.
I know Armando Bacot. I don't know.
It's the only one you know.
Because he beat Duke 2 years ago. That's why I know.
I thought you knew him because he was in a...
he's in Capital One commercials.
I thought you knew him because he was in Outer Banks for like 15 minutes.
Oh, he was in Outer Banks for 15 minutes?
It was less. it was like a scene or two. Maybe just a scene.
Did he have lines?
I think he like mumbled or something. I don't remember very much. I was like, that's Armando Bacot. What's he doing here?
They could have put anybody in that movie or in that show.
Yeah, how did he... The people.
Is DJ Burns going to be in the next season of Outer Banks?
We've actually got awkward sound.
I know we do.
DJ Burns was interviewed by Rich Eisen, and let's just say Rich Eisen, he didn't really tap dance around the question. He kind of stumbled awkwardly into a question, and DJ Burns was like, what? What's that? So we'll hear from him. We'll hear from those two and the McNair sound as well. Now we are done with hour one as what I pointed out kind of holds true. Star power all on the woman's side in college basketball. The men kind of anonymous unless you're 7'4" or play for the Cougs. Those are the guys that Sean knows. We'll be back.